We begin the current Daven Zav Zibam is Dav Kof Chaf Aleph. We begin 3 lines down with the Tam of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah on the previous Daf, where the Tanakama had qualified different categories of what it is that's necessary to identify a person. You have to see the form of his face. Now, one of the halachas the Tanakama said was that to identify the dead person, to then be able to testify to the wife that she could remarry, that her husband had died, it has to be within 3 days from the moment of death. Because after that, then the body starts already decomposing and starts changing the form, and you can't really tell who the person is. Now that, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, Loi kol b'chul, he says, no, not every person is the same, not every place is the same, not every time is the same. There is different factors, and therefore you can't just give a general rule of 3 days. That's up until when you could verify that this is the right person. It could change depending on the circumstances. So the Gemara wonders, Zibaylu, they had the following question. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Lekula Polig, was he arguing to be more lenient? In other words, the Tanakama who said that you could only testify up until three days. That Rabbi Yehuda was saying that no, that there are certain people or places or times where the person is not going to decompose or blow up or change that fast. And sometimes you could even say testimony after 3 days and to verify that's the person. Oy, the Gemara says, or maybe L'chumra Polik, he was arguing as a stringency, and he was saying that although the Tanakama said, the first opinion had said that you could identify up until 3 days, he was saying that no, sometimes even within 3 days you can't testify because sometimes things go faster depending on the person, place, or thing, and therefore it wouldn't be so clear that you could just give an identification of 3 days that that's going to work. Maybe sometimes it's going to be less. So which one was he trying to say? So the Mor says, Tashema, coming here from the following incident. That who gavered the tava b'Karmi? There was a certain person that drowned in the city called Karmi. Vasku abe hedya, and they finally brought him ashore in the place of Behedya. Labosat lasayim, so they finally brought him out of the water that he drowned in after 3 days. The insava Rav Dimi min Adola debesu. And Rav Dimi from Nada went and married off his wife, even though how they only saw this person after more than 3 days after he had died. So obviously we see from this story that, as the Gemara illustrated, that even after 3 days you could identify a person. Vesu, moreover, we have that Ahu Gava, there was a certain person, the Itva Bediglas. There was a person that drowned in the Tigris River. Now, va'askuhu agishra d'shavistona, and they brought him up, they finally dragged out this dead person from the water by the bridge of Shavistona. V'intzava Rava l'debesu apumad d'shushbini, and Rava went and married off this woman, based on the testimony, the identification process of those who were friends with this person, l'bosu chamisha yoyim, after 5 days. Now, so the Gemara says, I'm b'shleim l'kula pal giv, you say, Rehud ben Bava was arguing on the Tanakam, who says, always concretely, it's 3 days, that's the limit. Now, so obviously, if you say that he was saying that it's a leniency, depending on the circumstances, it could be more, well then, in the Da'avit, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, so those two stories the Gemara just quoted would be going, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, that you could identify sometimes, depending on the circumstances, even after 3 days. Eliyam, Eluchum, Apolik, but if you say Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was saying as a stringency, that no, who said it's not always up until 3 days? Sometimes, depending on the circumstances of a very hot place, let's say, even after 2 days. So then, in Hudahavid Kamatsa, who are these stories going like? Rav Dimi and those other halachas of Rava, where they went and married off these women even after 3 days, if the Tanakhama says three, and Behudah's Luchumra even saying less than that. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya that obviously Rav Dimi Bava was saying a leniency. Because Shani Maya, those two incidents happen in water. Now, cold water is different than Tzamsi because what happens is that it contracts the form of the face and it doesn't allow it to blow up and to thus change form. And that's why, even after 3 days, they were allowed to go ahead and identify the person and marry off their wives only because it was water. But generally, could be Ridman Bava was actually the one that's Machmer, stringent, and saying even less than 3 days. But everyone would agree to these stories because even though the limit, according to everyone, is the most 3 days, but when it's in water, cold water, that keeps the form even longer. Now, that the Gemara asked on this Gemara's question. He's saying that water is better, like that water keeps things as it is. But Va'amrit Mayu Marzumaka, you said that water agitates a wound. Now, so that seems to be that will cause harm and change and for things to cause to be inflation, that to be over there by the body. So how can you say that it actually keeps it and not changing it? So that the Gemara says, "Hana mila hecha deika maka." That's only if there's a wound. So then the water and the elements that are there are going to agitate and going to bother the wound, and yes, to cause inflation and to cause it to get worse. Aval hecha deika maka mitzmas samis. But when there's no wound, then it just shrinks, it contracts, it keeps everything as it is, and that's why in these stories where there were no wounds, it didn't inflate, it didn't create it to cause to get it worse. It just keeps it as it is, even after 3 days. Now, the Gemara qualifies, however, this lacha, but v'hana mila d'chi aske, that's only if when they do drag the dead person out of the water, that chazi b'shaite, that at that moment, or as some learn, in that hour, that they see that person. Avlishtai, but even if it's after 4 days and 5 days, which we said that even then, if it's in the water, it can last and you can identify the person, but if you waited after you pulled them out, more than that hour, then mitbach tafach, then it already, once you bring it onto dry land, then it'll start already blowing up, and then the form is going to change, and then that's already too late, then you cannot identify the person anymore. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding somebody that falls into water, and then we want to be identify that the person is a dead man. So the Mishnah says that, nafalamayim, if a person falls into water, Bein sheyesh len seif, whether it's water that has an end, which the Gemara will shortly explain what exactly does that mean, that it has an end, or bein sheyesh len seif, whether it doesn't have an end, ishtei asura, the man's wife is forbidden, which that obviously means to say, because could be the person has survived, is still alive, because maybe after the person who saw the person fall into the water leaves, then the person who fell into the water will come out. Now the reason for this is because Remeir holds that a person could live and survive in water, even submerged, for a day or two. So, and therefore, even Mayim that Sheyesh Lem Seif, where you can see the limits, as the Gemara will explain, and obviously if you're looking and you don't see him coming out on any of the boundaries, it doesn't make a difference. He could survive inside the water, even the amount of time it takes for a person's soul to leave when they're not breathing. And because of that, he holds even by Mayim Sheyesh Lem Seif, that the wife is still going to be forbidden because maybe the person survived underneath in the water. As the Gemara says, as the Mishnah brings, Amr Meir, he says, Maisa ba'echad shenafal b'hagad. There was a story with a person that fell into a big pit, a cistern, and he came out from, that's obviously a Mayim Sheshlim Seif, there's a limit, there's a pit, you don't see someone coming out, and he came out after 3 days. So you see a person could survive underwater for 3 days. Now, however, Amr Biesi, he argues, and he says that Maisa b'sumah, there was an incident with a blind man, Shiyarid Litvul b'ma'ar, who went down to immerse himself in a cave that's filled with water, which that's obviously Mayim Sheyesh Lem Seif, that has a limit because you see the opening of the cave. Now, the blind man went in, and Biyarid Moshe Achrab, and the one who would lead him, also went in after him into the water. And Vishal Kadesh Tetzi Nafshim, and they waited for the amount of time it takes for a person's soul to leave when you're not breathing, which that was the amount of time that they were submerged. Vesiras Nashasim, and these people never came up in that amount of time. So they married off their wives to be able to get married. Now, and therefore, as Rashi brings it, obviously Rabbi Yisi is arguing, and he says that the woman is permitted because he holds that a person cannot survive underneath, submerged in water, for that amount of time. Now, and if you're going to say that maybe the person came out within that amount of time, he came out immediately, that's not a concern, because if the person would have came out from, let's say, the cave with the blind man, they would have seen him. However, but by Mayim She'en Lem Seif, which doesn't have an end, you cannot see the boundaries of all that entire body of water. Then Rabbi Yisi would agree that, of course, the wife would be forbidden because maybe he did come out right away, just in the distance, and you didn't see because he went down the stream. But here, by Mayim Sheyesh Lem Seif, he argues under Meir, and he says, since you can see if he came out or not, and they didn't come out in the amount of time, a person cannot survive that long submerged in water. As we see that they married off their wives. Now the Mishnah continues, B'shuv Ma'isa Ba'asya. There was another incident in Asya, Be'echad Shel Shalu L'Yam, by somebody that they had lowered him into the sea, B'loy also Be'yodim El Raglay, and the only thing they were able to get out from the water after he went down inside was his foot. Now Sa'am Chacham, so the sages said, Min harkuva ulamaylo tinasa. If this foot that they took out of the water was above the knee, then she can go ahead and get married. But min harkuva ulamata, But if it was below the knee, which since a person could survive with his foot that was cut off below the knee, so therefore lo tinase, she could not go ahead and get married because maybe he went out of the water and no one saw him. And the reason is because when you're in the sea, that's Maim She'en Lahem Seif, where you can't see the ends of the water. And since a person could survive with his foot like that, and he can get out of the water, because and no one will notice, therefore, then in such a case, a woman would not be allowed to get married. Now, relating to this halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara brings the Brice, which elaborates on this discussion, that nafalamayim, if a man falls into water, bein sheyesh lem seif, whether there is an end to it, bein she'en lem seif, whether there's no end, meaning we don't see the end, Ishtar Asur de Remeir Meir, as he's quoted on Mishnah, holds the wife is going to be forbidden because obviously if we don't see the end, could be he went out somewhere we didn't see him. Even though we saw him drown, we didn't see him come up. Could be he underneath the water he went out. And even when there is an end, Remeir holds that a person could survive in water for up to 3 days, which no one's waiting there that long, and therefore the wife can't get remarried. The Chacham say, which is based on this opinion that was mentioned last in our Mishnah that we just quoted, they say, Maim Shriyash Lem Saif, regarding water that has an end, Ishta Muteris, which was similar to like Rabbi Yisi had said, then the woman will be permitted, like the blind men. B'Shein Lem Saif, but if there is no end, Ishta Asur, then the wife will be forbidden, as they said in the case of when it was cut below the knee, which was that the person could survive in such a way, and therefore, since it's Ein Lem Saif, could be he got out somewhere else, again, not like Rimei. Now, so the Gemara asks, this is what the main crux of what we're discussing over here, Heichadami Mayim Shesh Lem Saif, what is the case, what does it mean, water that has an end, where that's the basis of the Machlikas of our Mishnah, because regarding Mayim Shein Lem Saif, everyone agrees that the woman's going to be forbidden. But there's a Machlikas regarding water that has an end, what is that case? So Abai, he says, it's called Sha'imid V'Roya Ma'abruches. If a person would be standing and can see all the four ends of that body of water, for example, a ma'ara, a cave, which was the case by the blind man, or with a pit, where you can see the ends of it. And if someone sees someone fall in there, he can wait there, and if he doesn't see someone come out, obviously the person didn't come out, because you see the ends, that would be considered Ma'im Shiyesh Lem Saif. And again, that's where a mayor holds that the woman's still forbidden, but the Chachamim and Rabbis would hold that the woman would be permitted. I think Gemara brings a story, Ahu Gabra de Tava Ba'agma de Samkin. It was a certain man that drowned in the marsh of Samkin. Now, that this marsh is water that's still waters and it just sits in its place. It's not live water that's moving and rushing. Now, so someone fell in and drowned and there was waters. So, Ansava Rav Shila, the basis Rav Shila went and married off the wife. And the reason for this is because he considered that marsh, that still waters, like Maim Shiyesh Lem Saif. And the reason is because generally you say by Maim She'en Lem Saif, which this marsh was like that, you didn't see the ends of it, but it's only because the person could swim and be taken down by the stream to a distance and then come out somewhere you don't see. But here, since it's still waters and the water is stagnant, it just stays where it is, so he figured that that's just same as Maim She'esh Lem Saif, because if the person went in, if he's coming out, you would have seen him come out where he is, not down the stream. Now, Amalei Rav LeShmuel, but when Rav heard about this, that what Rav Shila had permitted, he said to Shmuel, Ta Neshamti, let's excommunicate him for what he had paskin incorrectly, which, as the Gemara will shortly explain, what is it that they held was incorrect about this. Now, but Amalei, but Shmuel said to Rav, he says, wait, Nishlach Leberesh, let's first send to him and see what his response is. Maybe he has a good explanation of what he did wrong. So Shalchalei, they sent to him, Maim Shei Ein Lahem Seif, regarding water that doesn't have an end, which was what this case of the water over there in the marsh of Samki was, Ishter Sura Imuteris, would the woman then be forbidden or permitted? So Shachlu, he sent to them, Ishter Sura, Maim, that doesn't have an end. Everyone agrees, the woman's forbidden. Now, then they sent to Be'agma de Samki. Now, these still waters of Samki, Maim Shiesh Lehem Saif, are they waters that have an end? Or Maim She'en Lehem Saif, are they waters that don't have an end? So Shachlu, he sent to them, Maim She'en Lehem Saif, it's water that doesn't have an end. So then they asked him, Umar my time, Abrachi, so why did you do this? Why did you permit the woman of this man who drowned in that water to get married? If you just said that those waters are Maim She'en Lahem Saif, it doesn't have an end because you can't see the end. And moreover, you said that Maim She'en Lahem Saif, the woman's forbidden. So that he explained, he says, you're right. Mita Ta'ina, I made a mistake. It was an error. Anosavi, I thought, Kivan the cup of Akaimia, since the water is just gathered and stays in one place, it's still water. It's like waters that have an end, because yes, the water continues, but it's no one's floating down to the ends. And if he's coming out, we would have seen him come out. Now, on that, my mistake was, Vallahi, it's not true. And the reason is, keeping the Ikagali, since there are waves, even with these still waters, where although the currents are different than regular, Eimer Gali Ishbalu, you could say that maybe there was a wave that did take him down the stream to a far place, and from there he came out. And therefore, you're right, that was a mistake that I had made, but not because of that, the halacha he was distorting. He understood the halacha, it's just the what's called the metzias, the reality of what that was. He thought that it was considered a mayim sheyesh l'misayif. Now, on that incident, the Gemara says, the Kari Shmuel lalei the Rav. So Shmuel said regarding that to Rav, that Rav was saved from doing an inappropriate excommunication because Rav Shila is not passing the wrong halacha. It's just the reality of the situation was an error that he had made. So Shmuel said regarding Rav, a pasuk in Mishlei, that says, lo yu'una l'tzadik halavan, that it doesn't happen for a righteous person any mishap, any wrongdoing. And that is that Rav was saved from this inappropriate thing to excommunicate Rav Shila. Now, Kari Rav alei de Shmuel, but Rav went and he said a pasuk regarding Shmuel that helped him out by giving him that wise counsel of not to excommunicate him. A different pasuk in Mishlei that says, u'seshua b'rabi yoyitz, that salvation comes with the multitude of counsel. And that is, he says, that my salvation from making this mistake was from you, Shmuel, because I took my advice from you, and that's why I was saved from excommunicating, which would have been wrong in this situation. Now, Gemara brings a story. Tanya Linda, Bryce, so I'm a Rebbe. Rebbe said, Ma'isa b'shnei b'nei adam. There was an incident with two people. Mechamrin machmoirin b'yardin. They were setting nets in the Jordan River. Now, v'nichnes echad mehem l'mechila shel dagam. Now, they were going into the body of water where they would put in their nets to catch the fish. Now, one of them went into this little cave which is barred out by the fish, where they made it for the fish, where this was near the edge of the river. Now, part of this cave-like feature by the edge of the river, part of it has ear space above the water, and part of it is below. Now, the part above the seawater is not filled with water, and a person could enter over there, and he could pick his neck up above the sea level of the water, above the water, and he could do his work over there about setting the nets where the fish come in there. So one of these men went into that mechila. Now, b'shakachama, but when as he was there, he was busy doing all his work, and the sun set. Now, b'lay ra, pischa shemechila, he couldn't see anymore the opening of that little type of a cave, so he was stuck over there. Now, b'shachaveir k'deshutetze nafshe, now his friend, who knew he had gone into the water, waited the amount of time it takes for a person, how long could a person survive underwater, and above idea b'teich basin, he went back to the guy's house, and he notified them that my friend, he had died, because he's underwater, he never came out. Now, Lamachar Zarchachama, but the next day when the sun finally rised, the Hikar Pescha Shemachila, now the person was able to realize where is the opening of this cave he was stuck in overnight. Basically, he came and he found by his house a great eulogy. Everyone was eulogizing him by his funeral. Now, Amar Rebbe, so Rebbe said, Kamagadilim Divachacham, how great are the words of the sages? Shamar, that they said, Maim Yeshlam Sa'i, if water that has an end, where we see the elements over here, all the four corners, ishta mataras, then the woman's permitted, because obviously the person died because we didn't see him come up. She'ein lem saif ishta asura, but if there's no end, then the wife is forbidden, which this was, they were in the sea, which doesn't have an end, and even this is a unique chiddush, because generally we say that it's yes, because it could have came out somewhere else. Here he didn't even come out, but when it's these types of waters where you don't know for a fact this is where the person is, could be there's a way that he survived, and even in that category of what they're saying, Yishter Suru, included even this case, a Mechila Shel Dagim, as we see, the person survived in the Maim She'ein Lehem Saif. Now, the Gemara asks, Ihach, if that's the case, well then, Maim She'esh Lehem Saif Nami, even water that has an end, Lechish Lemechila Shel Dagim, you should be concerned for a Mechila of Dagim, that maybe the next day he's going to come out and everyone's going to see that he's still alive. In other words, even if, let's say, there's a body of water, a river, where you see the ends of it. But maybe there's a burrow of fish where part of it is over the water, but you don't see it because it's covered by the sea itself. Maybe you should be concerned, even Mayim Sheyesh Lehem Saif. So why do we say that when it has an end, we do consider the person dead and you can marry with his wife? But the Gemara says, "B'mayim sheyesh l'mseif." When there is an end, mechila shadagim lo yishchich. It's not so common to have mechila shadagim. Mechila shadagim, where the fish have these burrows, are only when there's a large bodies of water where it continues by a large river or the sea. That's where it's common, but by, let's say, a man-made lake where you can see the ends, it's not so common to have these mechila shadagim, and therefore you don't have to be concerned for that. And we could assume that if he's underwater, where we didn't see him come out, that he has died and that he's not in any mechila shadagim. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies this halacha. Amar Vashi says, "Hada Amar Rabbanan." This that the Rabbanan said, which again is their opinion on Mishnah, which they argue in Reb Meir, because Reb Meir holds that even by Maim Sheyesh L'Mseif, he says the person could survive underwater submerged. But this that the Rabbanan say, Maim She'ein L'Hem Seif Ishtei Asura, if there's no end, then the woman is forbidden. That's Hanamila Be'inish De Amar. That's only by a regular person. But by a Talmudic scholar, then we don't say that the wife is going to be forbidden. And even by Maim She'ein L'Hem Seif, where it could be he came out somewhere else, which we should be concerned for, that would not be a reason to make a Talmud Chacham is why it's forbidden. The reason is, because Edus Olek, if it's true that he came out, albeit at a further place which we didn't see, well then Kol Hislei, there's noise about it. People know that a Talmud Chacham drowned, and when he comes out, people make a big celebration, a big hoopla about him, and therefore we would know about it. And if we don't know about it, it must be that he did die and he didn't come out at a later point. Which the Gemara says regarding this statement of Rav Ashi, that Velohi, it's not true. Leishna Inish Diyama doesn't make a difference. A regular person, Leishna Tzur Rabbanon, or even someone that like a Talmud Chacham, Diyavit In, like a Tchilah, it's only if after the fact the woman goes ahead and gets married that we don't make her get divorced if the husband had drowned in Maim She'ein Lehem Saif. But initially, even a Talmud Chacham, that it's Maim She'ein Lehem Saif, we do not allow the wife to get married. Now, related to this discussion about drowning in the sea, so the Gemara said, "Time learned the Brayis Amar Gamliel." Says, "Pamacha seisa mahalach besvina." One time, I was going on a ship, veriisi svina achas nishba, and I saw another boat that was shipwrecked, that was broken. Now, vayisa mitzdar al talmud chacham shabba. I was in pain that I knew that there was a talmud chacham on that boat. Umana, and who was it? That was Rabbi Kiva, and people were drowning there, so I was concerned that he drowned. Now, Kshalisa Biyabasha, when I finally finished my voyage and I came on dry land, Bava Yashiv Adon Lefana Ba'alocha, guess who comes and sits to educate a halacha case in front of Rabbi Gamliel? It's Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva said, I said to Rabbi Kiva, Beni, my son, Mihelcho, who brought you out? How did you survive? So Amali, he said to me, Dav Shal Svin in his Damali, a board of the boat came to me, I mean, it was shipwrecked and the whole thing was broken. I grabbed onto a board of the boat, one of the pieces of the wood. And every wave that kept on smashing over me, I went and bowed my head to it and I let the water just wash over me. And that's how I survived. Now, the Chacham learned a life lesson from this story, where these things could be metaphorical too, and that is, just like the waves, if wicked people come on a person, they try breaking him and smashing him down, so you should do the same thing. You should bend your head, just be submissive at that moment. Don't try to contend with them. And moreover, we can say something like that story where there was a daf hachaim, there was a board of life, a page of life that a person could hold on to, and with the waves just crashing down on the person, you could just bow your head down and just let that go, and you just hold on to what you know is really important and not try to contend with those wicked people. And after that, a person will be able to make it through that difficult time. Now, Amarti, so Ramila continues, he says, Ba'is Shah, at that moment, I said, Kama Gudelim Divrei Chacham Shamar, again, as we said in the previous Gemara, that how great are the words of the sages that they said, Maim Sheyesh Lehem Saif Muteris, that water that has an end is permitted. Maim Sheilim Saif, I saw like this case where they were on this open seas, that water that doesn't have an end, it's forbidden, because although it seemed like very likely whoever was there was in the open seas, the high seas, definitely drowned, but we see like happened like a Bekiva, he was able to survive, and therefore we said that if there's no end, we don't know for sure that this person, although the odds are that the person likely died, we say the wife is forbidden because maybe the person survived. Similarly, Tanya Lina Bryce said that Amri Bekiva, who he was the one that was saved in the previous story, now the roles were reversed. Rabbi Kiva said, one time I was going on a boat. I saw a different boat that was smashed by the open seas. But Yisim Mitzdar, Talmud Chacham Shabbana, I was in pain regarding a Talmudic skull that was on that boat, that maybe he drowned. Uman, and who was that? That's Reb Meir. But Kishalis Lemedinas Kapatkaya, when I came to the land of Kapatkaya, Boy Bayashav Vedan Lefanim Agaloch, and Reb Meir comes and he's sitting and having a conversation halach in front of me. So Martila, I said to him, Bini, my son, Mihalcha, who took you out? How'd you survive that? Samali, he said to me, Gal Tardeni Lechaveri. One wave pushed me to the other wave, Vechaveri Lechaveri, and that wave pushed me to the other wave, at Shekiani Liyabash, until the waves themselves, the tides, pushed me to dry land, and that's how I survived. So Marti Baisa Shurab Kiva says, I said at that time, at that moment, Kamagudalim Divichacham Shomer, how great are the words of the sages that they said. Maim sheyesh lem soif ishti materis, water that has an end, the woman is permitted, because that you know definitively that the person is dead, because you'll see if the person comes out. Maim she'en lem soif ishti asur, but water that does not have an end, the woman is going to be forbidden. Again, that although it would seem like that Chacham give concrete type of categories, which you can say that maybe it's not the case, we see again and again that how great are the words of the sages, that what they say has validity in the sense of that, although you would say, what do you mean? Maim shen lem saif, but we're in the open seas, of course the person died, we see that there are stories that people could survive, and that's why the woman is forbidden. Now the Gemara continues related to this about elements, about if a person we'd say would survive or not, as we're making the differentiations between maim sheyesh lem saif and lem saif. So Tarbar Linda Braisa, nufal geva royas, if somebody falls into a lion's den, so the Braisa says, ein me'idna lov, you don't say testimony that the person definitely died. Maybe he survived. But lechafur, malay, nechash, makrav, if he fell into a pit full with snakes and scorpions, then me'id nalav, then you could say testimony, you could definitely say the person's a dead man. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseirah, he argues, he says, no, af lechafur, malay, nechash, makrav, ein me'id nalav, even if a person falls into a pit full of snakes and scorpions, you can't say testimony until you actually see him dead, that he's a dead man, because Chashinu, we're concerned, as we're reading Talmud Beis, Shema Chavarhu, maybe he's a necromancer, someone that knows the different types of incantations to say to the snakes, which can do a spell on them, and that they don't attack him, and therefore it's not for sure that he's a dead man. Now, but Tanakama, he says that no, Agav Itzitza, since when he fell, which it's a very narrow space, this pit with snakes and scorpions, he definitely landed on them and he banged them so masculine, so they get upset at him and they're definitely going to harm him, even if he's a chaver. But by the lion's den, which is a very wide open area and he doesn't fall on them, sometimes they're not so hungry, the lions, and they're not going to eat him. And therefore, if he falls into the lion's den, it's not definite that he's going to be dead. So until you see him dead, you can't testify that he died. Tarman Linda Braisa, continue on these different variations of this halacha. If someone falls into a fiery furnace, so meet in the love, you could say testimony that the guy's for sure a dead man. If he falls into a vat full with hot wine and oil that's boiling on a hot fire, meet in the love, you could say testimony that definitely the person died. Mishum Reb Acham, or in the name of Reb Acham, they said no. If the vat was filled with oil, then you could testify. And the reason, because when the person falls into that vat, and then the oil then overflows and sprays out onto the fire that's below it, that's heating it up, so that actually caused it to get hotter and hotter, and that doesn't stop the boiling of the pot, because oil is going to be combustible with, it's going to actually be something that creates the fire to get hotter that's underneath it. So then ultimately the person's legs are going to be shrunk and getting burnt and not going to go out, and he's ultimately going to end up dying inside that vat. But shalyayin ain meid nalav. But if the vat is filled with wine that's bubbling, that you cannot testify the person's dead until you see him dead. And the reason, neshu mechaba, because when he's inside, so it bubbles, then it bubbles over onto the fire, which the wine will extinguish the fire that's below it. Now, although till it does extinguish, he's been in the fire for some time, and his feet are already it's already handicapped that he can't get out, but he's still not going to die. And the reason is because the wine, since it's going to extinguish the fire below it, is going to cool it off. And after a while, it's going to be cooled off, and he's just going to be there in the pot of in the vat of wine. He's not going to die. He's not going to get out, but he's not going to die. And therefore, that wine is different, according to Rabacha, than that of oil. Now, Amrulai, but they said to him, it's not true. Because Tchilasi Mechaba, you're right. Initially, the wine, when it spills onto the fire, it's going to be extinguishing part of the fire. But Vesayifay Maver, but ultimately, actually will help it burn even more. And actually, that's a, as Rashi brings that, how people do with certain types of logs or coals, that they first try, they throw some water in it, which extinguishes the fire a little bit, but then actually makes that cause the water then is even used to make it to get even a larger fire than it was even before, and therefore it doesn't make a difference if it's a vat of oil or of wine. Either one, we can testify that he died if he falls inside that vat. Now, in the Mishnah, Amar Meir, Meir said, he wanted to bring a riot to his halacha that he held not like the chacham that we've been quoting on Amud Aleph. He held that maim even she yesh lem seif. Well, you can see the ends of this body of water, and you wait amount of time a person, how long could a person not breathe, which you can't breathe under water. So let's say you waited a half hour, an hour, for sure the person's dead. You can go ahead and testify. Your mayor said no. He said that a person could survive even in the body of water submerged, and therefore he can't testify, and the wife's still going to be forbidden. And he said that it was actually such a story where a person fell into a large pit, and he came out after 3 days. And therefore you see a person can survive submerged in water. Now, Tanya learned the Braisa, which continues the conversation of our Mishnah, that Amr Lermeh, the Chum responded to Remeir, Inmas Kirin Maisa Nisim. We don't mention miraculous stories as proof for reality type of halacha. And that is, we hold that you can't survive underwater. Now, even if you hold that you could, you can't bring a riot from that story because even if he didn't die because of the water, he should have died for a different reason. And the fact that he didn't, it's a miracle. So don't bring a riot to your halacha that you want to show that it's not a miracle for surviving underwater because anyway, the story is a miraculous story. Now, the Gemara asks, my mice and Nisim, what are the Chacham referring to when they say, anyways, it's a miraculous story? If it's because if he was submerged underwater for 3 days, he obviously didn't eat and drink, and the person can't survive not eating or drinking for 3 days. But the Gemara says, Voksiv, but there's a pasuk in Esther that says, where Esther tells Mordechai and the Jewish people, Vitzumo alai, and fast for me, Val toichlu val tishtu, and don't eat and don't drink, which the pasuk there continues, Shleishes yamim, 3 days, Laila v'yayim, night and day. So therefore you see that, obviously, that's what they did, that they could do that, that you don't have to eat for 3 days and three nights. So that's not a miracle. So El Rav, the Gemara says, Deloi Naim. What happens is a person's underwater. You have to use all your faculties to survive. Obviously, the person's not sleeping. And that's a miracle because the Amr B'Yechon, he says, if someone makes a Shvua, Shle'ishan Shle'ishan Yom, he says, I take an oath that I'm not sleeping for 3 days. So Malkan Oisa, you give him lashes now, because you just said a shvua sheker, the yashin l'altam, we put him to sleep right away. And the reason is because it's a lie. You already violated your oath because it's impossible for a person to survive more than 3 days without sleeping. And since this person survived submerged in the water of this big pit for more than 3 days, well, it's a miracle anyway because they didn't sleep. Now the Gemara asks, so Vermeer, my time is, what's the reason Vermeer, it seems like it was a miracle. So how could it bring a riot to reality that a person could survive in water? The fact that he survived in water was part of the miracle too. On that, Amar Rav Kana says, no, kipin al-gav kipin hava. In this cistern, there were arches, which were different types of shapes, and these type of arches that were inside, and there was one on top of the other, and that's what he laid on, and that's what he slept on. So, although that, yes, he was in water, but Remei says you could survive submerged in water for 3 days. And the fact that's miraculous, not miraculous, because he was able to sleep. He slept on the arches. Now, Rabbanan, they say that no. The Shishahav, the arches were made out of marble, which is slippery, and a person can't stay on it without slipping off, and he wouldn't be able to sleep on it. So it is a miracle anyway, because he couldn't sleep. Remeir says, no, it's not true because EF should loy masterich, it's not possible that he couldn't have grabbed on to at least a little bit of it, even though it's slippery, that it's marble, for nine port and at least slept a little bit, so he didn't go for 3 days without sleeping at all, so it's not miraculous, and therefore he could bring a riot to his other element that it wasn't miraculous, that a person could survive submerged in water for up to 3 days. See, even Maim Shieshlim Saif, Remeir holds, the woman cannot get married. Now, related to this about falling into a pit of water, the Gemara brings Tarbon and Lenabrisa. There was an incident with the daughter of Nechunya who would dig the pits. For those who did Alil Regal, who would come up to Yerushalayim, the three Yom Taivim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. and he dug these pits, and water would gather in those pits, and then the people that would be making the pilgrimages would drink the water for themselves and their animals. Now, once happened that this digger who did this great chesed of the Jewish people, his daughter was shenafla bar hagadol. She fell into the large pit. Now, Ubo Vaidil, Reb Chanina ben Daisa, they came and notified the great tzaddik, Reb Chanina ben Daisa, that Nechunya's daughter fell into the pit of water. Now, Shari Shayin Amal Ham Shalom, the first moment, the first hour, he said to them, it's okay. She's okay because she can still survive. So too, Shni Amal Ham Shalom, the second hour, he said to them, it's okay, she still could survive. Shlishis, but the third hour, where she was not able to survive anymore, Amal Ham, also he said that she really came out of the water. And that is because he knew, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that for sure she didn't die in there. And the reason is because something that a righteous person, her father, was so busy making these pits of water to do chesed for the Jewish people, it's not possible that his child should then actually die and have a problem through that thing that he does this kindness with. Now, Amalah, so when Chanina ben Daisa saw the daughter of Nechunya, he said to her, "Biti mehalcha, my daughter, who brought you out of the cistern?" So Amalai, she said to him that, well, there was a zachashera lechelim nizdamali. There was a male of the sheep that came to me, who that's a reference to the isle, the ram of Yitzchak, which was there when at the time of the Akedah. V'zakun manhigay, and there was an elderly man who was leading this male sheep, which is a reference to Avraham Avinu. And that's how she was saved from this Bar HaGadol. Now, Amar Lo, the people said to Chanina ben Daisa, Noviyatu, are you a prophet? How do you know that she wasn't going to die? So Amar Lehmi said to them, Lei Novi Anoichi, I'm not a prophet. V'lei ben Novi Anoichi, I'm not even the son of a prophet. Ela davar shad tzadik misasik boy. Something that her father, this righteous person, he exerted effort to create this element, this pit of water. You think Yikashal Bezara, you think, and that element that he created as a chesed, his own child is going to die through that? Can't be. And therefore I knew that, okay, as long as she could survive, she survived. And then once it came that she couldn't survive, no, obviously that means to say she's already out of that water. And that's what happened. Now, but interestingly, or paradoxically, Omer Ababi says, Afal Pi Kein, however, in spite of what we just said, Meis Benoi, the son of Reb Nechunya, actually died B'tzama, from thirst. So although his own father was the one that created all that water for the Jewish people, his own son died from not having water to drink. Because actually that's the way of Hashem, where he's very precise with his righteous ones. Shalom, like it says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, says, Usvivav nisaro miyad, which literally means to say that those who are around Hashem, it's very turbulent. Now, but what the Midrashic interpretation is that Malamed teaches, Shakadosh Baruch Hu midaktik im sevivav, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is precise with those who are around him, meaning the righteous who are in Hashem's, so to speak, circle, kechot ha-saira, like a hair's breath. So the word nisara is the word sar, meaning that with those who are sevivav, meaning with the righteous who go after Hashem, Hashem is very precise. So although he's a great tzaddik, but if he did something even just the most minuscule type of infraction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacts that type of a punishment. Chanina Mamahachi brings from a different passage in Tehillim that says, El Na'arotz Besod Kedoshim Rabbah, that God is dreaded in the council of his great and holy ones, the Noira Kol Sevivav, and his awe is on all those who are around him, meaning they feel the dread more than those who are very far, and therefore the punishment was so exacting even for the person who did this great kindness of water, that his own son died from thirst. But Tosfos says, this doesn't contradict the previous Gemara that Reb Chanina ben Daisa said, what do you mean, something that he himself exerted on, his own child's not going to die from, because here he didn't make this pit, meaning when he made a pit, obviously his own child's not going to die in that pit, because that's what he exerted effort on. But this that his son died from thirst wasn't something that he exerted his effort on. It could be the same element, but something that he himself made, that he said it can't be that will cause the death of his own child. But that his own child could die from something that he does chesed for, that could be. And that's again fit into the category of svivav nisara miyad. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the testimony of someone saying that this man died, which thus then allows this wife to go ahead and get remarried. Again, as we said, any one witness, any one person, whether it's a woman, a man, a pasul, a kasher, is believed to say that this man had died. Now, on that, the Mishnah says, "Afila shama min hanashim aimers." Even if someone just happens to hear women are talking, and their intention is not to say testimony, they're just talking, having a conversation. Oh, did you hear? Did you hear? That he hears that they say meis ish plaini, that this and this person died. Daya, that's enough for this person who overheard this conversation to go testify in Beis Din to allow this woman to go ahead and get remarried. I mean, he says, afila shama min hatinoikis, even if he hears just children talking. You know, we're going, the kids are talking, we're going to eulogize and to bury that person. Now, whether their intention was to say testimony, whether their intention is not to, they're just talking amongst themselves, a person could go ahead and then testify in Beis Din that because of Iguna, Ikilah Rabbah Rabbanan should be able to get remarried based on just what this man overheard the kids talking about. Now, Rabbi Yudman Bava, I mean, he says, Bistral, when it's regarding a Jew, then afa pishu miskaven, even if his purpose is to allow this woman to get remarried, that's okay. The person could go again and get the woman could get remarried again, whether their intention was or not. But by a non-Jew, imhoy miskaven ein edusi edus. If his intention was that this woman could get remarried, then actually his testimony is not a testimony. It can't be that was his purpose. We don't believe a non-Jew, that we're concerned that maybe he's lying. If that's his intention, maybe that actually that's not what happened, and we don't believe him if that's his purpose. Now, the Gemara asks regarding the halacha that we said, even if he overhears children, the Gemara asks, but v'dilma lo yazli, maybe they didn't go. Maybe they thought that this person died, and they're saying they're going to go, but maybe they didn't go. And therefore, if they didn't go, maybe the person actually didn't die. So Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, says, no, the Ka'amri, they said, Hareini bo in mi lispoid umelikfer esesh plenty, that we are coming now. The kids are talking amongst each other, and they're telling the other kids, we just came from eulogizing and burying that person. Even that's enough. Taisa says that doesn't contradict the words of the Mishnah, which says that he overheard the children saying, Hareini holchin, because the way you should interpret the Mishnah is, on the holchin lebeitenu, we're going to our house, because we're coming milispoid, we're coming from having eulogized and buried this person. And the Gemara still asks, if this is kids that are saying this, but v'dilma kamtza b'yalma, maybe there was just a grasshopper or an ant, as we know kids play with these types of bugs and little creatures, then maybe shachavle, maybe the kids killed an ant or a grasshopper, and they gave this grasshopper a name, this is this person. That's what kids do, they give it a name. And then they said, oh, and we're going to bury, and we just came from burying this person. It wasn't really a person. They just gave that grasshopper the name of that person. So how can you go ahead and remarry that person's wife based on what these kids were saying? So I think my answer is no. The Ka'amri, Kain v'Kain, Rabban Habahasim, they didn't just say this. They said, besides saying that they came from eulogizing and burying this person, they said that this and this famous rabbi was there. Kain v'Kain, Saftoni Habahasim, this and this type of eulogers were there. And they say all the different elements, which obviously are indicative factors that this was a real hesped and burial that they came from. And therefore, just on the kid's testimony, a person could testify in Beis Din to allow this woman to get remarried. Now, that the Mishnah concluded from Yehud ben Bava that, however, regarding a non-Jew, if his intention was to say that this woman could get remarried, then his edus is not a valid testimony to allow the woman to get remarried. Now, on that halacha, the Gemara qualifies, I'm Yehud ben Shmuel, he says, Lo yishanu, we didn't say that if his intention is a purposeful testimony that we don't believe the non-Jew, that's elish neskaven lahatas. Only if his purpose was to permit this woman to get remarried. Avon neskaven lehaid, but if his intention was just to testify, he's just coming to testify, he has a moral obligation he feels to tell the people that this person died, but maybe he doesn't even know anything about the woman getting remarried, that's not his purpose, then they do say this. Then his testimony is a testimony, and then his wife, that man's wife, could get remarried. Now that the Gemara asks, Hechiyadin, how do you know what his intention is? How do you know if his intention is just to testify the person died, or because that so that he wants that man's wife could get remarried? So Amar Yisvi says you could tell from how he talks. Bola Beznavama, if he comes into the Jewish court and he says, Ish plaini mace, I know that person died. He serious ish, they marry off his wife. Well, zeh niskaven lahatur. That's obviously his intention is to permit it to get married, because that's as much as he's saying, and therefore we don't believe him. But meistam, if he just comes into court and he says, I want you Jewish courts to know that I know this person died, well, zeh niskaven la'edus, that's just to say testimony regarding the death of the person, but not to permit the wife, and therefore then we do allow the woman to get remarried. Itmanami, similarly, we learned that Amr Shlakish, he says the same idea, that Loishanu, we didn't say that we don't believe the non-Jew as Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said in the Mishnah, Elish Neskaven Lahatr, only if his purpose was to permit the woman, of Neskaven Lahir, I do say this, but if his intention was just to testify regarding the death of this person, then his testimony is valid and we can marry off the woman. Now, on that, Amr Birchin said to Rish Lakish, what do you mean? Loikach Haya Maisa Ba'isha Baribi, wasn't this discussion exactly what happened with the great Aisha Baribi? And the Gir says Shehisris im Shmoinim v'Chamishas Kainim, that he was fighting in Halacha with 85 elders, and because Amalim he said to them, Loishanu, we didn't say this Halacha v'Yudmembo Ava Elish Neskaven Lahata, only if the non-Jew's intention was to permit the woman of Neskaven Lahate, do say Edis, but if the intention is just to say testimony, then it's valid and we could allow her to get married. But V'Lohoydu Loichacham, the sages did not agree to him, and therefore how can you say this Halacha? But we see that 85 to 1, definitely we're going like 85. So how can you say this qualification? Now, so, but then the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yechanan, El Mesnitin Dikitani, but then our mission that says, that if the non-Jew's intention was to say this, then his testimony is not valid. Well, then Hechem Ishkachasla, then according to Rabbi Yechanan, how can you ever have that when he's not Niskaven for what? Not Niskaven to permit her? Fine, that we could get in the case of when it's just to testify. But if you're saying that even when he's intending just to testify is not valid, so what is the qualification that the Mishnah is saying? It's saying, oh, if he was Miskaven. What do you mean Miskaven? Miskaven for what? Sounds like if it wasn't Miskaven, then it would be valid. But what does that mean? You're saying it's not even when he's Niskaven Lahata that's Aser, but even Niskaven Lahate that's Aser. So when do you ever have a case of what a non-Jew says, if he's not intending to what, would be valid? So the Gemara answers, according to it would be b'mesich lefituma. Yet he's not intending to permit her, and he's not intending to say testimony. So when do we have a non-Jew then saying something? It's when he's just talking innocently without noticing that it's having any halachic or legal ramifications. As the Gemara says, kahud have a kamar ba'azlik. There was this one person that came along and was saying, man ika bechivoy. Who's here from the household of Chivoy, which was the name of the man, Man Ika Bechivoy, who's here from the household of Bechivoy? In other words, who's here from his household that will hear what I have to say? That Shochiv Chivoy died. The answer of Rav Yisrael with the Besu. And Rav Yisrael went and married off his wife because he didn't come into Bezin, to the court of law, to say a legal ramification. Because yes, that even there we don't believe him. But here he just wants to tell the family where he doesn't realize he's saying anything that has legal ramifications. Then we believe him and we can marry off the wife. Similarly, the Ahud Hava Ka'amah Ba'azal, there was this person that was just coming and saying, he was walking through the streets and saying, Vailei lip for Russia, the Zriza, woe to the fast horse rider, where it was a reference to a Jewish person that was a mighty warrior, to have the Pumbedisa, the Shachav, that he was in Pumbedisa, and he died. Ve'insavar Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef went and married off, Vitam, and some say it was actually that Rava, let the Beis married off his wife, again, because he wasn't here to say testimony, and for sure not to permit the woman. He was just bemoaning the fact that this Jew died, and that's called Masich Lefi Tumay, just innocently saying over a fact, and then we believe him to marry off the wife. Similarly, the Gemara says, Ahu Dehavu Ka'ama V'Azal, there was this man that was coming and saying, Man Ikebe Chasa, who's around from the household of Chasa, because Tava Chasa, Chasa drowned. So Amar Ibn Nachum, Ibn Nachum said, Hoi, Hoi Lekim, Hashem, achluch kavri l'chasa, the fish ate up chasa, meaning he drowned in the sea, he definitely died. Now, the Gemara tells us that midibur de Rav Nachman, from the words of Rav Nachman, where he said that, oh, the fish ate him up, and he didn't say let it be that Hashem would help that he will be saved from being drowned in the sea. He didn't say that, and that is because what it sounded like from what Rav Nachman was saying, that obviously chasa died. So as the base of the chasa vinsava, so the wife of chasa went and got married to someone else. And no one told her anything to get divorced from the man that she got married to. And that's again according to the same line of reasoning, because since the non-Jew who said this fact was just being Masich Lefitumai. So Rav Nachman said that we could believe that, and therefore he said that for sure he's dead. And therefore the wife went and got married. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara says, Amar Vashi, Shmami no halacha, that we could infer from this story, from this incident, that had the Amr Rabbanan Maim Shein Lem Soif Ishta Asura, this that the rabbi said in our Mishnah, which they were agreeing to remeir, that if there is no end to the water, then the woman is forbidden to get married, because we say maybe the man survived. Obviously, that's only initially that we say that you can't get married because maybe he survived. But if the woman does get married in spite of that, that we do not make her get divorced from the man that she got married to, because again, odds are he did die. It's just that maybe he didn't, therefore initially not allowed to, but since we see over here that no one told her anything, even though Chasa went and drowned in a Mayim She'ein Lehem Saif, and although definitely the odds are that he died, but initially not allowed to, but we see no one told her to get divorced, obviously, b'diyeved, she could stay married. That's one version. Ikadami, that those that say that actually, that it wasn't that Rav Nachman who was bemoaning his death and that the wife went on her own, got married, but actually that insular Rav Nachman, so he went when he heard this non-Jew saying that he drowned, and went and told the wife, even l'katchila, that she can go to get married. Now, Amar, he said, because Chasa, Gavar Rabbi Issa was a great person, a big Talmud Chacham. Im Issa the Salak, if it's true that he had survived and came out at, let's say, a later point in that body of order that we can't see the ends, well, Kala Islay Lamilsa, then it would have made a big roar. People would have heard about that this great person was saved. And from the fact that we didn't hear about it, obviously that he did die, and therefore he went and married off his wife. Now the Gemara says, it's not true. As we had said in Amud Aleph, Lishna Gavarabba, it doesn't make a difference if he's a great man. Lishna Lav Gavarabba, it doesn't make a difference if he's not a great man. It's only di'evid in, it's only if after the fact that the woman gets married, that then we don't have to make her get divorced again because the odds are that he really did die. Well, like at Chilalai, but initially not. You can't go out and get married because since it's Ein Lem Saif, we don't know. Maybe the person went and got out at a later point in the body of water where we can't see and survived. And even if he's a great person, not necessarily would we know. And therefore, the wife cannot get remarried. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara says, "Ahu evi kachavim da b'ka'amalei liYisrael." There was a certain non-Jew that said to a Jewish person, "Katoil aspasta, I want you to cut this not ripe grain, which is used commonly for animal feed. I want you to cut it and b'shadi lichivoy b'shabbat. I want you to throw it, to give it to my animal on Shabbos," which obviously now do that with one lametes belachas, to go ahead and cut that which is attached to the ground on Shabbos. But I want you to do it. V'iloy, and if not, katil malach, I'm going to kill you. And you know what? You should just know, because I'll kill you, katil no l'ploini bar yisol, like I killed that other Jewish person. I told him, cook for me a pot of food on Shabbos, which obviously you're not allowed to. It's one of the lametes malachas of Eifah of Bishel. And he didn't cook for me, and I killed him. So I'm telling you, it's not an empty threat. I've done this before. If you don't do one of your malachas on Shabbos for me, I'm going to kill you like I killed him. Now, Shama the Beisum, the wife of the other man who the non-Jew said that he killed because he didn't cook for him, she heard what this non-Jew said. She came in front of Abai saying, this non-Jew, who, when a non-Jew is being Masih Lefitumai, we said before, that he's believed, so I should be able to get remarried based on what this non-Jew said. Now, however, Shahisa, Abaya held on to this question, as we can tell in the time of Kofchav Bezim and Al, Tlasa Rigli, for three Yom Taivim, meaning because on the Yom Taivim, the older Talmudic scholars would gather to hear the drasha, let's say on Pesach, to hear the halachas of Pesach, and he wanted that to be able to bring up this question at that time, so he held on to it because he didn't want to be able to answer that question. He didn't have a definitive answer for her what to say. Or Rashi brings actually, alternatively, from the Chubas HaGoinim, that when it says Rigli, it doesn't mean like the Shalash or Golem, because when talking about the Amiram, who were later after the Beis HaMikdash, it's actually a reference to the yard site, a day of when a great person dies. So then they make, for the honor of that Talmud Chacham, every single year when it reaches that day, all the Talmudic scholars come from all around and they gather by this Talmud Chacham's grave with all the other people, and they make a yeshiva over there, and they come and they discuss all the different shilas. So Abaye held on to this question. He didn't answer the woman yet. He wanted to be able to discuss it at this juncture. Now, Amalur Rav Adar Bar Abba, so Rav Adar Habba said to this woman, since she wasn't getting any answer from Abaye, he told her, Zulika made Rav Yosef, go in front of Rav Yosef. The Charef Sakina, he's like a sharp knife. He'll be able to cut through all the different intricacies of this question, and he'll give you an answer. So Azikame, she went in front of Rav Yosef and Pashad Maha, and the Gersa says Masnita, he resolved her question from the following Brisa, where the Brisa says, there was a non-Jew who is selling fruits in the market. Now, Va'amar, and he said, when everyone's trying to sell their wares, says, Peres halolu shel arlahein. These fruits are from a tree that's arla, meaning that it's from a new sapling, which a new tree within the first 3 years, the fruits are forbidden for a Jewish person because they're considered arla. But what this non-Jew is trying to say, that these are great fruits, they're from a fresh tree, it's not from an old tree, and therefore he's trying to sell it, to market it like that. Or let's say he says, shela zekehen, that they're from an orchard that's fenced in to safeguard it, and it wasn't ruined by any passerbys, which, however, that's a problem for a Jewish person because it was actually a Shemitah year, and the produce cannot be safeguarded. Well, alternatively, Rashi brings that Azek is actually the name of a city in Eretz Yisrael, and which thus he was trying to say how great these fruits are because it's from Israel, and however, this non-Jew is selling them in Chutz La'aretz out of Eretz Yisrael, and what we're trying to say, as we'll see from this Bryce, is that we don't believe what he was saying, that it was from Eretz Yisrael, and maybe then it was a Jew that sold it to him who didn't take off the appropriate tithes, and therefore it would be a problem for a Jew. It's not true, as we'll see from this Bryce. He was just trying to make it sound better, either because it was safeguarded, which Azekah, one Pshat in Rashi is, or because it was from Eretz Yisrael, even though now he's selling it out of Israel, or it's from Arlo, which is from that's a fresh tree, or Shal Nitta Revayhen, or he's saying it was from a tree in its fourth year, it's still a fresh tree, which again, all these cases are all problems in Jewish law. Arlo is a problem, if it's safeguarded in the Shemitah year, or it's from Eretz Yisrael that didn't have the mice to take over, it's a problem, or Nitta Revay is a problem. And that the Brisa says, Loi Omar Klum. The non-Jew essentially has not said anything, meaning to make these fruits forbidden for the Jew. And the reason is because we go after the majority. And that is, the majority is that it's not from somebody that is halachically problematic. Because actually this non-Jew is lying. Because loy niskaven elishbech mikri, his whole intention is to just make his wares sound better. He'll say whatever it takes to sell it. And we don't believe him to say that it's from the tree that's the first 3 years, thus making it arlo. We don't believe him that it's from safeguarded, thus making problem for Shavias. We don't believe him in all these different things. Now that's what the Braisa says. So Rabbi Yisus said, and that's how he assisted this woman regarding the question that she had. The same thing is also over here. That you, although you, the woman, want to say that you should be able to get remarried because the non-Jew is being masich lefituma, it's not true. Hear what he's saying, he's not believed, because when he's threatening this man, saying, you better cut this grain for me on Shabbos, he's saying, and if not, I'll tell you I did it to that Jew. He's just trying to scare him. He's trying to intimidate him. He's using whatever tactic he has to manipulate that Jew because he wants him to cut it. But he's not believed. Just like we see over here. He's not believed to say, even though Cody's being Masich Lefitumai, oh, I have from the first 3 years. He's a liar. He just wants to get what he wants. And therefore, just like we don't believe him over there to say that it's going to be a problem from Orlo or Shemitah or Meiser or Netter Vai, so too, I'm sorry that although the non-Jew was seemingly Masich Lefi Tumai, that you should be able to get married, and saying that your husband died, it's not true because we don't believe what he's saying, because he's just lying to be able to threaten that Jew, and therefore you wouldn't be able to get married based on what this non-Jew is telling this person, that he had killed your husband.